Tonight, you're going to notice I'm not a preacher. And I want to thank you. First thing I should say is thank you so much for the privilege of getting to go to seminary. And, you know, you guys funded that and underwrote me on that. And so I'm just so grateful. I want to say thank you. We'll see. I might even get to graduate magna cum laude. So we'll... That actually got more than I thought it would. I do want to start out with just some truth about me. Nothing you hear from me tonight will really mean anything. Only God's word can transform. Nothing I say is going to have any power. You know, Rachel and I had my wife and I had the good fortune of getting to meet Henry Blackaby in person one time. And I know we've got some people in here that actually know him. I was sitting at where he was speaking, and he said something that's just really resonated with us and has hung with us for a long, long time. That no one ever met God and was not changed, right? Just read the Bible. Nobody ever met God and stayed the same. So if you leave here tonight unchanged, that's not on me, right? That's just the way it goes. I've called this message or named it Misidentified. Some of the folks over here in the Joy class, they will have heard a story or two before, but this one time, I was in a meeting, a big conference room, lots of people, probably 50, 60 people, and I'm sitting with my back against the wall, and then there's people at the table, and then across from me over against the wall, here sits this lady I knew, and I look over, and she goes, right? She winks at me, so I kind of look around, I wink back. She went, no. And so, okay, so I sit there a little bit, and she winks again, and I went, wink back. The person next to me goes, cut it out, you idiot. She's got Bell's palsy. She can only close one eye. So it's kind of the way my life goes, and that's a true story. See? So tonight, in God's Word, we're going to look at John chapter 15. This is... If you guys have followed Hans, you know early on in his career, he memorized this entire chapter. I don't have it memorized. I'm going to read it. But we're only going to look at the first 8 verses. Turn to John chapter 15. You're familiar with this, the vines, the branches. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and then they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Did you hear that? And so prove to be my disciples. This is known as the 7th and last I am statement in John. There are other I am statements. You guys are familiar with them. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. I am, you know, the great show, all that. But this is the last one. And I want you to see the context. This is a doctrine that is, if you read, you know, Grudem or Erickson or anything, there's a doctrine of being in Christ and Christ in you. And this is part of that. And we'll see some other verses about it. But I want you to notice something. Look at the very first verse, the I am statement. This is the 7th one, so it might be important. The great I am statement. What does Jesus say? And tonight there's going to be some audience participation. So everybody just say what it says. Ready? I am the true vine. That's important. In Isaiah 5, verse 7, Israel is God's vineyard. And Jesus hearkens them back to those Old Testament words. He does that a lot, if you notice. When he holds up the coin and says, whose image is on this? He hearkens them back to, let us make man in our image, right? That kind of thing. So Jesus takes them all the way back to that Isaiah 5:7 statement. I am the true vine. My Father's the vine dresser. The context. When is this taking place? This is after he said, it's got to be because it's the seventh and last I am statement. It's after he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the true vine. It's after the foot washing and the serving them. It's after the supper. It's after, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. That's where Philip said, well, Jesus, show us the Father and we'll know. And Jesus said, really? I've been with you this whole time and you still don't get that if you see me, you see the Father. I mean, that's how clueless we are sometimes, and that's how the disciples were too. A lot of people are afraid of failure. You know, they're afraid to serve God. They're afraid to do something because they might fail. But guys, the biggest screw-up of the disciples preached one time and 3,000 people got saved. Don't be afraid to fail for God. He's the true vine, right? He's saying, if you're in me, if you abide in me and I in you, look at this. McLaren, Hans has talked about McLaren a lot. This is how he describes it. As far as Jesus being the true vine, reality lies in him alone. Think about that. Reality lies in him. In other words, God created reality, right? Everything else the world offers is a lie. The Greek word for true here, as in I am the true vine, is alethinos. And it speaks to the full revelation as opposed to what is imperfect or defective or uncertain or frail. It's the true. It's like pure gold, right? Pure gold versus some adulterated metal, some alloy or something. And that comes out of, you know, Strong's Greek thesaurus. But I want you to see this. The same word. This is cool. This is like goosebumpy cool. The same word for true that's used here where Jesus says, I am the true vine. By the way, the vine that we're supposed to be plugged into, connected to. The same word for true is in John 1:9. Jesus is the true light of the world. John 4:23, when he's talking to the woman at the well and he starts speaking about the true worshipers. Same word. And also in John 17 during the high priestly prayer, when he declares Jehovah is the only true God. You want truth? Like the movie, can you handle it? What's the implied truth? That's something that we don't talk about much, right? When the Bible says, if you'll do A, B, and C, you'll be blessed. Well, the implied truth is, don't do those and expect a blessing, right? So why did Jesus need to declare he was the true vine? Well, think about it. We must be easily deceived. We must be willing to look at other options. He talks about wolves in sheep clothing. Apparently there are other vines out there. There are other things, other groups, other organizations people can plug into. And they're not all bad. You know, the bowling league's not bad. The Rotary Club's not necessarily bad. Some of them are not evil and they do a great deal of good. However, good works do not satisfy the requirements for eternal life. Do you hear that? Good works do not satisfy the requirements for eternal life, for forgiveness of sins, or for redemption of your soul. There's only one true vine. Jesus is that true vine. Look who the vine dresser is, the Father. This is the doctrine of being in Christ. What Jesus is talking about in so many ways is justification, what we call justification and service. Are you in Christ? Here's the really neat blessing. Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. None. Look, when we talk about justification, Paul talks about being declared righteous, right? So there's this question. Anybody had like CWT, Evangelism Explosion, all that stuff back in the day? And we're doing now one conversation with Ray Anderson. And a lot of these same tools work. And you ask that question to somebody, say, if God were to ask you, you know, you die tonight, and God says, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? We should start explaining to God what justification is. We should point to Jesus and say, ask him. I'm here. I'm behind Jesus. You're declared righteous. You're in Christ, right? There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. That's where the rub is. Are we in Christ? Is Christ in us? Abiding in Christ, right? He says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, living in him, him living in you. Where do you abide? In your abode. That's where you live. That's where you do life. That's where you're safe. That's where you're secure. That's where your comfort zone is, right? He's the God of all comfort. For the true believer, it's in Christ. That's where you abide. Look at the Father as that vine dresser. He created and owns the vineyard in this metaphor. He keeps and cares for. He removes the fruitless. He prunes, he shapes, he corrects. You know, there's also a doctrine of testing in the Bible. You're tested, you're pruned, right? God is omniscient, isn't he? Does everybody agree God's omniscient? He's omnipotent, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent, all those omni, he's omni-omni. But if God is omniscient, then he can't know more about you than he already does, right? So if that's the case, he doesn't test you to learn more about you. He tests you so you'll learn more about him and his faithfulness and his love for you and his plan for your life. And it hurts. Pruning is painful, right? And it's also painful sometimes to watch that fruitless friend of yours get taken out. And God will do it. He's like my dad, right? I brought you into this world, I can take you out. That's what I used to get told about once a week. He prunes. You want to be pruned. You need to be pruned. I need to be pruned. And praise the Lord that he's willing to do it. If you're getting pruned, he's still active in your life. That's what we need to understand. You don't want to sit there and get dried up and not be involved. We are in Christ and he is in us. Sometimes it's easier to picture one than the other, but that picture of justification is a three-person deal. Put up the picture of the grapes. So isn't that pretty? I found that. I want to read you some verses. 2 Corinthians 13:5, or do you not realize about yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Romans 8:10, but if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Bearing fruit. Fruit always describes the vine or the tree. All right, audience participation. How do I know it's a pecan tree? Because what's growing on it? Pecans. Matter of fact, we call things by the fruit, right? We don't call it the tree with the serrated leaves and the rough bark. We call it a pecan tree, right? How do I know I'm looking at an apple tree? Because it's got apples. How do I know I'm looking at a tomato vine? Because it's got... You see, we call it by the fruit it bears. How do they know we're Christians? Wow. I know someone is a Christian because why? Jesus is the source, the vine. We're merely the branches. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Start talking. I hear it all over. Mumble, mumble, mumble. What's the first word in the fruit of the Spirit? Love. Love. Matter of fact, there are some scholars that believe the fruit of the Spirit is love and all that other stuff comes out of it. Think about it. If you don't have love, if you're not lovely, how are you going to have joy and patience and gentleness and kindness? How is all that going to come out of you if you don't love? You're obviously in Christ because they will know we are Christians by our love. Somebody ought to write a song about that. That'd be good. John 13:35. By this all people will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Love. That should be love popping off of there. Understand, God prunes us so we can bear more fruit. If you're not, you're either bearing fruit or you're in a season of pruning. That's probably, you know, where you're going. You're growing or you're being shaped. It does hurt. It's not easy. Life's not easy. How many people in here know life is hard? Yeah. Life is hard. Yeah, there's lots of... But we get pruned so we can bear more fruit. In other words, more what? Love. More love. As you grow older in Christ, as you get further away from your spiritual birthday, you should be producing more and more and more love, more fruit. Can people look at us and tell us we belong and tell we belong to the true vine? Can they look at us and tell? Would they describe us by our fruit? I don't know that. I mean, sometimes my fruit's not so pretty. I shouldn't have to wear a t-shirt that declares I'm a Christian, should I? It should be, what kind of plant is that? You can say it. What kind of plant is that? How do you know? It's got grapes on it. So how do people know that you're a Christian? You got Christ coming out of you, right? You're lovely away from this campus. When you're at work, when you're at the store, when you're in the parking lot and somebody just took the spot you should have had. Not that that ever happens. Do we always live in Christ? It's hard. Jesus had a lot of agricultural metaphors and comparisons, didn't he? Right? Remember the, what was the guy sowing? What was he scattering? Seeds on what? What was it? What's that parable about? Four soils, right? The wheat and the tares. Okay, so you know all that. God laid one on my heart the other day, and the church to me is a lot like a beehive. Lance, can you play that video of the beehive? Hopefully you'll have sound. This video just plays. Oh, there we go.
To learn the location of the nectar, watch how fast the bee waggles its body. Listen to the sounds it makes, and remember the speed, direction, and number of patterns in the dance. It's the bee's version of a map. Directions are always given in relation to the sun, to the right of it, the left, or dead ahead.
So that's the waggle dance. And I know Baptists shouldn't dance, but it just really, the beehive and the church, God just said, hey, they're a lot alike. Think about this. They fellowship together. You ought to see them getting after it in that beehive. They know each other and they bump into each other and they say hi and their little antennas touch and they do all this stuff. They have a great time. They serve their queen. Who do we serve? The king. They work together. They actually are industrious. You know, they work together. They know what their jobs are. They understand what their job is. You know what their main job is? Make more bees. You understand the only thing we're called to do, we're called to make in the Bible is what? Disciples. They know what their job is, to make more bees. How about this? When they leave the hive, they don't change into a butterfly. They're not ashamed to be a bee. Do you hear what I'm saying? They don't go out in a way that doesn't offend. They're not ashamed to be a bee. They go out and make a difference in the world. You know, if the bees like pollinate about half of all the plants, they have encounters. They go out and they make a difference. And they have encounters in these fields of prospects. Right? Think about it. You see how it's like a church? Oh yeah, they got back here? Stinger. Did you know you have a stinger? Right here. You know, in that part of the Bible about put on the full armor of God? Everything is defensive except the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This will offend. I'm sorry, the world's going to be offended. Anybody that wants to live a lie gets offended by the truth. This is your stinger. You know, we shouldn't be ashamed of being a bee. They come back and they bring their offering, right? They come back and they give their nectar back. They communicate the waggle dance. You saw it, right? A And not only that, they're excited. Guys, I know where the prospects are. I know where the new flowers are. And look, over here, and they flap and they do that. And do you notice that their story as they're communicating is always oriented towards the sun? How about S-O-N? What about the sun that we know? And guess what? All who are able to go out, go and harvest. They go and hit those prospects. And when scientists study the environment and they look at the world, you know how they know the world is sick and not healthy? There aren't as many bees as there used to be. Apply that to Christians. Romans 1:16, many of you have that memorized. But for Christians, it's really important because Paul is speaking to Christians in Romans. This is written after the Edict of Claudius. Paul is writing to Christians. He says, listen, here's what you need to understand. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Greek. By the way, I didn't talk to Bobby Kelly before I put this together. Is it amazing how what God did with the sermon this morning and this message? The bees go out and have encounters. They go do their thing. They're not ashamed to be bees. When we leave here, don't transform into something that the world will embrace. Be love. Be Christ. You see down here on the steps, and this is going to be your challenge tonight. Down here on the steps are our encounter cards. We've already put thousands of these in the community. But if you just do the math, you look around a room like this, say 250 people, you do four things a week. You go out to eat a couple of times. You go get your oil changed. You go to the hairdresser, whatever. You hand one of these out. If just simple math, if 250 of you do this four times a week, invite somebody to your church, let them know you love the Lord. Don't be ashamed to be a bee. Be who you are, who you were called to be in Christ. Four times a week, everybody in here, that's 1,000 encounters a week, isn't it? And then you come back all excited about where the prospects are, right? Everybody else can go pounce on them. But the point is, multiply that times a year. What's 1,000 encounters a week times a year? That's like 52, thank you, Jim, 52,000. Seeing if you're awake. That's 52,000 encounters a year. Even if we fail 99% of the time, this church will grow by 520 people. And all we have to do is be who we're called to be. And we're going to have an invitation here in a little bit. And we're going to, you know, ask you to come forward and pray. Maybe, you know, I realize I'm about to dry up and I don't want to be, you know, a fruitless branch and get cut, you know, God be done with me. I want to be in you and bearing fruit. And maybe you need to come up here and pray that. Or maybe you realize, maybe I'm not in the vine. This is something that we're going to close with. Just like earlier when I misidentified the wink, right? Remember that, the wink? Okay. Look at this picture again. Isn't it pretty? And that's like the most beautiful, great picture I could find on the internet. But I wanted to find that picture because is that easy or hard to tell it's a grapevine? That's easy, isn't it? You can look at that and say, that is a grapevine. That's bearing fruit. That's healthy, right? A healthy branch is going to bear fruit. But I want you to look closer. What else do you see? Do you see anything else? Look down at the bottom. What do you see? What? I heard it over here. What do you see down at the bottom? Flowers. And aren't they pretty? Aren't they blooming well? Don't they look good? But guess what? I'm gonna do a hint. They're not in the vine. Those flowers are not in the vine. Just because you bloom near the vine and look good doesn't mean you're in the vine. Just because you're associated with the vine, you're near the vine, you're around the vine, you go to vine events, doesn't make you in the vine, right? Do you see my point? We really need to have a sense of urgency, and we need to care about people we know that kind of look like they're part of the vine, look like they're a Christian, but they're not. That was at the end of that when he said, if anyone does not abide in me, this is what he's talking about, those flowers down there. He is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and they cast them into the fire and they're burned. The flowers are the ones that get burned up. If you're in the vine, you're in the vine. But you can't just hang around the vine and think you're not going to get burned up. So just like this vine, it should be really easy to see our fruit, our evidence. People full of love and serving the world, serving the Lord, not the world's definition of pretty. Right? So your decision today is, are you part of the true vine? Are you part of the true vine? Or are you just some pretty thing nearby? Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. We thank you just for the opportunity to be adopted into your family, to be a part of the vine. God, we know people that are not part of the vine. We know people that just play church, that just show up and look really good, but they're not part of the vine. Father, and we also know that we should be bearing much fruit, that it should be obvious that we're part of the vine, that we abide in you. We live daily in Christ, and you live in us. God, and it should be so evident by our fruit, by our love, by what we do and how we serve you, God. Father, I just pray, like those little bees that go out, that we're not ashamed of who we are, and we know what we're supposed to be doing. And we go and make those encounters. Father, I just pray right now, if there's anyone here that needs to come up and get pruned or admit that they're not bearing fruit, Lord, that they would have an encounter with you tonight. If there's someone here that needs to join this church and be part of the fellowship, be part of this God's hive right here at Quail Springs, that they would come up and talk to someone. Lord, we just pray that if there's anyone here that doesn't even know you as the vine dresser, that is just one of those flowers near the vine, God, that they would come forward tonight, even now, and become part of the vine and be in Christ so that he can be in them and they can bear much fruit. For there is no condemnation for anyone who is in you, Lord. We know that. We admit that. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.